Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I've been looking at the idea of the person in the pew and what God expects from the average person, from you. And I want to take one little step in that walk again this evening. He is interested in you, and He has a ministry for you. He has a will for you, a plan for you. And it's not just the preacher, it's not just the pulpit, it's the person, and it's the pew. And I've looked at the fact that God expects us all, and that means you, have a supernatural conversion, a sweet communion, a steadfast commitment, the last time a spiritual company, who we hang around does matter. I want to look at this thought. It may seem a little strange to begin with, but a lot of things I say sound strange. After I explain it, it probably sounds more strange, but here we go. God expects us all to have a satisfying contentment, a satisfying contentment. And the verse that I read may seem even more strange in trying to connect the two, but it's exactly what I believe this verse is saying. In verse 9, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's on my heart to try to get this thought across, that we are content, we are satisfied with what the Lord's doing in our lives, that we are content with what He's doing. The thought in these verses is the Lord saying, now you settle into my yoke. It has the idea of surrendering. It has the idea of releasing the will, of giving in to, of being content. He is saying, hook up with my yoke, and if I lead you straight, go straight. And if I have you turn right, turn right. If I have you turn left, turn left. If I have you stop, stop. And be content with it. Notice what he ends with. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. I mentioned in this evening the satisfying contentment. It has the idea there of that word rest. It means to be quiet. In your mind, a quietness, a satisfaction, a contentment. That even sounds good. It has the idea of not being disturbed or not being upset. It's a wonderful word, a resting of the mind. In other words, contentment and satisfaction. That is the Lord's will for you. It is the Lord's will for us all, to come to the point, listen to this, to where we have no complaints. Not that everything's going good and I say, oh, I don't have anything to complain about. Everything's just fine in my life. Well, anybody could not complain then. But to be satisfied and content with whatever is coming. Now, before I deal with what we should be satisfied about, I want to mention some things we should not be satisfied about. We should not be satisfied with our closeness. We ought to, the song's already been sung earlier, that I want to know more about my Lord. We should never be satisfied or content with how close we are to Him. We ought to have a desire, a hunger, a dissatisfaction in how close we are. We should not only be dissatisfied or not satisfied with our closeness, but our confidence. We ought to want to trust Him more. I started just the other day working on a message about growing our faith and trusting Him more. We should have a desire to be willing to trust Him no matter what we're facing, and never satisfied with the confidence we have or the faith that we have. We should not only be dissatisfied about our closeness and confidence, but our commitment to Him. We should be desiring to be more committed to Him. I know this, He surely was to me. He held back nothing. He gave His all. And that ought to be our desire. To where we get to the point where we're holding nothing back. Those things being said, I want to talk tonight about a satisfying contentment. He's talking here about yoking up to His yoke. And the idea is we're going to plow a field. That's what a yoke is all about. Now, there's other uses, but there's a use for a yoke and a plow. I remember as a little boy, my daddy made me go out into the garden, and he taught me how to use the push plow, the hand plow. And I found out real early as a little boy that thing, number one, was too heavy and too big, but it was difficult to control. But I found out the design of that plow was made to where it would accomplish the task as long as it was run right. So I want to talk tonight about Jesus' yoke and how we are to be satisfied with what He asks of us. He said, set yourself in My yoke. Be content. Could have mentioned first, we should be content about the direction of our row. In other words, if you're plowing a field, you don't just get out there and go this way for a while and that way for a while and backwards for a while. You have a direction. You have hopefully a straight line you're going to. You set the plow in here and you look toward the other side and you head in that direction. Well, that's the same way it is with a walk and our work for the Lord. He has a direction He wants us to go. And this evening, I want to say that we need to trust Him in whatever direction He's leading us. I ask you a question. I'm not trying to trick you this time. Can we trust God with our lives? Good. Very good. Now I want to ask you this. You might not ought to answer this. Do we trust God with our lives? We know we can, but so many times we don't. I'm talking about what Jesus talked about, putting ourselves in His yoke. We got a field to plow. And that plow, the important thing is you go in the right direction. You go in His direction. In other words, He is saying, be content with where I'm sending you. Be satisfied with what I'm asking of you. Remember the occasion where the disciples were complaining and Jesus said, "Thy will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me." He said to Peter, "It ain't none of your business what I do with John. You just make sure you're plowing your field the direction I tell you to plow." And so many times we need to realize God has a design. He has a direction for our lives. And my point tonight is be satisfied with that. I talked to a fellow this afternoon in a ministry for ladies. And they have moved into this house and they're ministering to these ladies. Most of them are hooked on drugs. And I thought, boy, I'm glad that's you. That is not my desire, that is not my ministry, and I don't want it. But I thought this, he had a burden for these ladies. Him and his wife have given their lives to this ministry, and he is thrilled with it, and he's got a burden for it, and he surrendered to it, and it's what he wants because that's what God wants. Well, we need to surrender, we need to be satisfied, we need to be content with the direction of our row, how God and where God has sent us and what he wants us to do. Paul said, I have learned. That means he's learned it. That means that it hadn't always been this way. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, whatever God sends me, wherever he sends me, whatever he sends my way, I'm okay with it. Being content with the direction of your row. He may send you down to the distant rows. Down at the corner of the field where nobody even knows you're working. Oh, not up there at the main part near the barn where everybody's working, everybody's talking, and you got some communion, and there's a little shade on the edge of the field. He may send you way down at the bottom of the field where nobody's at, and there's no breeze, and there's no shade, and it's hard. But listen, if that's where God sends you, be content. If nobody says, I appreciate you, if nobody says you did a good job, what difference does that make? You're doing the job for him and not for them. I'm talking tonight about being content, being satisfied with what God does and what he's doing in our lives. He may send you to the distant rows. He may send you to the difficult rows. He may send you down there in the bottom where there's a lot of rocks and it's hard to plow and the sun beats all day long and there's no place for rest or no place for relaxation. It may be difficult right now what you're going through. He may have sent you to some difficult rows and you're plowing right now is hard. Let me tell you something. There's a reason for what he's doing. He said, surrender to my yoke. Get in my yoke and let me control you. Let me have my will in your life and you be satisfied with it. Be content with it. Surrender to it. Don't fight. Don't resist. Worst thing that animal could do against that yoke is resist. Jesus told Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. When you resist me, you're going to hurt yourself. And when we resist the Lord, it's going to be only hurting us. Number one, be content with the direction of your row. He said, get in my yoke, let me control, and be satisfied, be content, surrender, and let me take control. And don't complain about what I do. Let me have my will in your life, a satisfying contentment. Be content with the direction of your row. Listen to this. Be content with the difficulty of your rocks. One thing about Israel, boy, you ever seen a picture? It is full of rocks. I'm telling you. Some of those places, I don't see how in the world they get anything to grow. And when you're plowing, I found out as a little boy, even in New Bern, that old dark dirt, black dirt, you hit a rock or a stump, that plow will jump or that plow will get stuck. It'll be hard to handle. If you're plowing in rocky fields, it's hard to handle the plow. It's hard to accomplish anything. But listen, he knows the field that he's put you in. And he knows it's not going to always be smooth and easy. Every once in a while, you're going to hit a rock. Every once in a while, you're going to hit a snag. Every once in a while, you're going to hit a hard spot. Joseph hit his hard spot with his brothers. Job hit his hard spot, his rock, with the devil. David hit his hard spot, his rock, with Goliath. All the way through the Bible, Elijah hit his hard spot with Jezebel. Could I say this? Jesus hit his rock, his hard spot, with the cross. But every one of them came out victorious. Listen, I'm talking tonight about settling into your yoke, surrendering to what God's doing, yielding to him, being content with what he's doing, not dissatisfied, not upheaval, not disturbed, not complaining, not resisting, not fighting back. We need to be content about the direction of our row and the difficulty of our rocks. One thing about a rock, a lot of times you can't see it. You hit it before you know it's there. And everything you can be, listen, life can be running smooth. And everything going halfway settled and halfway decent. And all of a sudden, bam, you hit something. You run into something hard and difficult. Boy, all it takes is one phone call. All it takes is one report from the doctor. All it takes is one big mouth neighbor. All it takes is one hard-hearted boss. And we've hit a rock. And sometimes it stops us. And sometimes it slows us, and sometimes it shakes us, but it shouldn't. Listen, if the rock's in your field, and he led you to the rock, it's because you needed it. Therefore, we should say, God, I sure don't like rocks. I don't like what I'm facing, don't like what we're going through. But Lord, if you've led me here, and as far as I know you did, Lord, I surrender to it. I must have needed a rock. I must have needed this hard place. You must be trying to do something in my life that I don't even quite understand. But I do know this. If we hit it, it's because we needed it, and we should surrender to it. And listen, trust Him, but importantly, obey Him. Boy, when you're going along, you hit that hard spot, you better do the right thing. Sometimes you have to back up and get another run. Sometimes you just have to skip over the rock. I mean, listen, but I don't know what to do, but He does. And while you're going through your hard spot, listen to Him, trust Him, but obey Him. More important than ever when we're going through hard times, to obey the Lord. Because He knows the way, as I've said so many times, through the wilderness. He knows the way to get us through what we're facing. But only He does. And I promise you, if we go by our own feelings or what we think or our opinion, we're going to do the wrong thing and make things worse than ever. Talking about be content with the difficulty of your rocks. Number one, be content about the direction of your road. Number two, be content about the difficulty of your rocks. Number three, be content about the depth of your rut. You know what a field is, right? You know what a garden is. It's a field full of ditches. It's a field full of ruts. And that's what a row is. It's a rut that's been covered up. And I say this evening, be content with the depth of your rut. You see, a plow is designed where it points in the direction, but it also pulls down. And that's one thing that was hard for me as a little boy, getting the right depth. I'd either hold it up and just barely skim the top and do no good, or I'd push it down too much and go, and it'd get stuck. So the depth of our rut or the depth of our row, the depth of what we're cutting into does matter. And listen to me, the farmer's the one that's in control of the depth. The Lord's the one that's in control of our yoke and our plow. He's the one that determines how deep we go in this world. Because listen, we have to go deep enough, listen to me, don't let me leave you. We have to go deep enough in this world to care. If you just skim through earth, skim through life, never being touched by anything, never loving anybody, never being burdened about anything, never caring about anybody but yourself, if you're so disconnected to the world that the world doesn't touch you, you're not going to get anything done for God. We have to be connected enough to the world to where we see that lost person in our neighborhood. We need to be deep enough in the world, connected enough in the world where we see those people who are hurting, those people that are discouraged, those people who are going through trials, where we see the needy and we're burdened about it and troubled about it and concerned about it enough to do what God says. You understand? The depth of your rut. We need to be connected enough to this world, sinking in enough to where it touches us. But not so deep you can be too shallow where nothing touches you. And you don't care about anything but yourself. But also, you can not only be too shallow, you can be too deep. You can get too deep. You can sink in too much of this world to where all you care about is today and how things affect me and how's my life going and how much money do I make and what will people say about me and will I get the promotion and will things happen to me that are good? Will God bless my life? So we need to be concerned about the depth of our road. And God is the one that determines that. If we'll let Him, He said, settle into the yoke. Surrender to my yoke. Give in to it and let me control your life, including how deep you get. In other words, we're to be deep enough into this world, touched enough in this world to where we care. And we can help somebody maybe along the way. And honor God along the way, but not so deep and so connected that the world's all we think about. We are to live for the other world, not this world. Jesus said, lay not up yourselves treasure upon earth, but up in heaven. The solution is, give it to God. Let Him control the depth of your life. We have to be a part of this world, there's no doubt. Until we get out of it, hallelujah. But until then, we need to make sure we're not too connected. Got a question. How much would God have to do to make you content? What does He have to do to make you satisfied? And I'm not talking about just finances. If He gave you enough to pay your bills, let's deal with finances first. If you could pay your bills easily and have a little bit of money, instead of go to McDonald's every once in a while, would that be enough? Would that make you content? Would that satisfy you? And before you answer, I'll tell you the answer. No. Because flesh is never satisfied. How about your health? If God helped you to feel better, if He took the pain away, if He healed the problem, if He took care of it and you felt pretty good for a change, would that be good enough? No. Because flesh is never satisfied. And use that in any aspect of our lives. What would it take to make us content? What would it take to satisfy us? If we're talking about our flesh, nothing. Because flesh is never going to be satisfied. And therefore, we must look to Him to be our satisfaction. Only He can satisfy us. The Bible says, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He does, listen to me, He does in our hearts what nothing in this world can do. He gives us contentment, satisfaction. Listen to me, rest for the mind and the spirit. I say it again, He does what nothing in this world can do. I got something else to say. He not only does something nothing in this world can do, He does something everything in this world can't do. If you had everything in the world, you wouldn't be satisfied. Satisfaction comes from Him. Contentment comes from us surrendering to His will in our lives, a satisfying commitment. He wants us all to be satisfied and committed to His will and be willing to be content with whatever He sends. What did the shepherd boy say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As long as He's my shepherd, I won't want for anything because He satisfies me. All the way through the Bible, listen, God in what makes you content or makes you happy? Unless we can say, God in nothing, we're not where I'm talking about. If we had to have God in health, God in happiness, God in riches, God in popularity, we're not where I'm talking about. But when we get to the point where, Lord, whatever You want, I want to be satisfied. I want to be content. I want to yield myself to Your yoke and let You have Your will in my life. Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen, Brother Paul. To live for God and serve Him and put Him first and be content with whatever He sends, that is great gain. That is great gain. That is something to be thankful for. But most of us, including your preacher, are not there yet. But we ought to desire it. He wants it for us. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If you got something to eat, something to wear, that's enough. Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as you have. Whatever you got, be content, be satisfied. And again, this is more than just stuff. This is more than just clothes. This is more than just money. This is whatever God has sent. Lord, I may need some rough roads. I may need some hard roads to plow. But if that's what I need, I'm satisfied. I'm content. I surrender to Your yoke. I give in to it. You see, He's the one that's cultivating the garden. He's the one that's in charge of the field. We need to cultivate an attitude of rejoicing. Instead of concentrating on the negative, which is so easy to do. We need to concentrate on the positive. And as the Bible says, give thanks for all things. And if He changes my circumstances, good. And if He doesn't, good. It's a struggle. But He wants us to say, Lord, this is Your yoke. I'm settling in. You tell me what to do. Send me where You want me to go. Give me grace to face it. Whatever comes, whatever He sends me, I'm His. And I'll do what He wants me to do. Whatever comes, whatever He sends, I'm His. And I'll do what He says. Lord, it's Your yoke. And I surrender. Let's stand.